This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to midday. Now we're talking.
You know when Beyonce says, I woke up like this, it's because she is looking hot, hot, hot. She didn't just wake up like that. Una lemaka. She's been beat to death. You know, she's got the natural beauty, but, you know, she took it next level. So I remember in the 2009 global recession, as world leaders were thinking, how can we get the world out of this very tricky, difficult situation? A report was written, I don't remember by which agency, maybe it was McKinsey or the Brookings Institute, and they spoke about the lipstick effect. I've never forgotten that terminology, so fascinating. And what they were saying is that if you consider the fact that women spending along the retail chain is so excessive. They're buying groceries. They are paying for school fees. They are managing household expenses. And they are buying a lot of cosmetics. And that if you can stimulate women's retail spending, it would have generated about 30% into the global economy and thus helped with the global growth at the time. And so that phenomenon was termed the lipstick effect, is that when you look at what women spend on fashion, on cosmetics, on accessories, on food, on household expenses, it's a great stimulus for the retail economy. And so hence the power of the woman and her purse. And so makeup isn't just makeup. Yes, it's flourish. But it is absolute financial empowerment for governments and nations and treasuries as well. And that's the conversation we're having today. We know that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, and that makeup, you know, it just enhances the existing God-given beauty. But there's a trend today, which is what they call the face beat, which is go full throttle. Don't hide. Put every color on the palette on your face, plus the lashes, plus, you know, the edges. Get it all done. So I think the French approach to makeup is a little bit. And I think the American approach to makeup is a lot. There's no right or wrong. It's all about how a woman feels. And in the end, it's ka-ching, because how a woman feels leads to about $300 billion of spending in the cosmetics industry worldwide. $300 billion of spending on cosmetics worldwide. And I think that's the reason that our guest this morning, Usiphose Tumehana, is joining us to talk about her brand, Nubian, and the work that she does in this area of beauty and cosmetics. So, Setu, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato, and your listeners.
Thanks so much for coming through. Tell us a little bit about Nubian Cosmetics. Nubian, you know, it's ironic. Yesterday, Peter and Mashabane and I were talking about Nubian, that it's the original people of ancient Egypt, the original Africans.
Yes, so actually that's where the name comes from. Yeah. And you'll find, I think in every country, there is a Nubian beauty salon, Nubian hair, Nubian cosmetics, Nubian, even Nuban. So even if you Google in South Africa now, if you go on the socials, yeah, and you just put in the word Nubian, yeah, Nubian hair, Nubian everything. So basically that's what it means. It means African woman. Well, the now in the modern days, to summarize it, African woman, ethnic woman, brown woman, it's women that are proud of their roots, where they come from, and mm-hmm, who they are.
Okay, so obviously you are both a makeup artist, but a brand creator and makeup cosmetics company owner. Speak to me about all those points of the spectrum, how it all began for you. Were you a creator first, an entrepreneur first?
So how it started, actually, my background is marketing. So I was in marketing, working in corporate, and I think I needed a side hustle. I think during the time you're talking about 2008, 2009, you needed a second income. And I wanted to do something that is aligned to who I am.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to feel, you know, the job. So I wanted to do something I can do with my eyes closed, aligned to my beliefs and who I am. And it was actually a toss and a choice between something sporty, meaning like being a trainer, because I used to be a runner, very, very athletic. I still play netball. And or doing something in the beauty industry. So I knew that I needed to go to school or get training in one of those. And I chose makeup. So I actually went to a school, makeup art, which is actually down the road, studied makeup for a full year. And in makeup, you actually also specialize. You know, there is film, makeup, theater, bridal, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So I just, you know, decided to do normal makeup because I could see, even at work, I was the girl that, you know, was asked by everyone, you know, I'm going to a function. What should I wear? Say to how should I do my hair? How should I do my makeup? So I was always, always, always that girl. Did makeup. I think there's a lady also in one of my classes, which I also teach makeup. I will chat about that later. And she said she remembers me testing foundations in the parking lot at work. So what happened was I needed to complete, you know, my diploma. So I needed to do hand in a portfolio. And then so I needed to do people during my lunchtime. Yeah. So she was one of those ladies. So that's how it started. And then when it came to the business, people then started asking me, this is, you know, the face looks great. What did you use? Mm. I'm like, then I saw an opportunity so I could actually sell makeup.
Okay. So there's a difference between skincare,
yes,
versus makeup, because skincare is the cream that's helping you with the pigmentation, complexion, pimples. Makeup is another thing altogether. So are you straddling both?
No. So right now, and I always tell my clients to actually take care of the skin. So let me give you an example. If I've got a bride, we do a consultation, I'll look at the face, analyze. I'm like, you need a facial. Can you do dermaplaning? All these treatments, because those treatments will actually nourish your skin before your big day. And it also cuts off a bit of time, because I don't know if you've seen some makeup artists would actually do the whole makeup or facials before they do the makeup. Okay. And that takes time. And you hear, oh, the bride is late because of the makeup artist. Not really, but it's part, sometimes it's included in the package, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And taking care of your skin is very important when it comes to makeup. I know some people use it to cover their blemishes, to cover their spots. And I always say, guys, I can't give you advice, you know, on your skin. Please go see a dermatologist.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially as Dakis, we want to know what you're using, because you're Lerato, you look beautiful, your skin is plump, it looks nice. What do you use?
Yeah,
and I go to a Clicks or Dis-Chem to get that. It doesn't actually work like that. Depends also on your age and your skin type. There's so many things, you know, that are, you know, that comes to skincare versus makeup.
Yeah.
Makeup is what you do to enhance your beauty. It's on top. So it's another layer, basically. I think I can just,
you know, you're
like
saying
that.
This, you remind me of a time, but this is sidebar. I go to the hairdresser and I had a really quirky hairdresser called Jay. And I think I arrive with a picture of someone.
Yes.
And he looks at it and he looks at me and says, Nana, I'm a hairdresser. I'm not God.
We're not miracle workers.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So I don't know what you want me to do with this, but I'm not going to make you look like this. Except that nowadays, makeup artists are gods with a small g, because they absolutely are transforming people.
Yes.
Where the way a person looks naturally and the way they look after makeup, it is completely, completely transformative. So what has changed in the techniques of how makeup is applied?
So I would say it's techniques, but also the makeup artist and where you, do you fall into the spectrum. So if I were to describe it high level, you get the makeup artist that would transform you, where you look completely different, like someone else.
Yeah.
And then you have the, I'll call it, you know, if on a scale 1, 2, 3, the middle, where I place myself, it's, we're just enhancing. You still, your nose will still look like your nose. You know, we might have a shimmer, but you are still Lerato. And then you get the far end where people that don't like makeup, they don't want lashes, they just want to look, you know, just put on a lipstick and look nice. And those different levels then would then direct in terms of how much makeup you, the more makeup, the more transformed you'll be and the longer that takes.
Okay, so I used the term earlier on, the face beat.
Yes.
How did it come about and why is it a face beat and why has it become all the rage?
It's a face beat because of all the tools, meaning the makeup brushes and everything. I think, you know, if we're doing a makeup, we come with a big box or a big suitcase. So those are the tools. So you feel like you're actually beating this person
like
up.
Like a panel beater.
Yes, like we're chiseling your face. Ah. You know, to make it look slimmer, we're chiseling your nose, we're chiseling, the tools, we actually do your brows, we shape them. I think that's where it comes from because it's the tools that are used to actually, you know, beat you up, to change, to transform.
Okay, I get it now. I've never understood the face beat. And that is a total face beat. So let's just talk a little bit about the beat.
Yes.
Because quite a few things are happening there.
Yes.
So the first thing is the foundation.
Yes.
Which is where the makeup process begins. And you've got to get the right color.
Yes.
There are concealers.
Yes.
There's contouring.
Yes.
Tell me what's happening there.
Sure. So it starts actually with the skincare, which we already spoke about. And I think the foundation is the foundation of the actual makeup. Because if you miss that and you get that wrong, I think then, you know, you're off track. Let's call it that. And that is the trickiest part also, if I may say, because you find, I don't think, you know, there are very few people that have a same skin tone all over.
Okay.
If you're looking at your neck, if you're looking at your ears and your chest, you'll see you're not the same skin tone. And that's where people always ask me, where do you match or how do you match your foundation? And it's tricky, and you'll find that on your face, even on mine, you'll find you might use 2 or 3 different kinds of foundation. And then someone will say, oh, so to then it's complicated, I don't want to do it. But you do get the different types of makeup, and yes, I will say a Nubian foundation, whereby it actually melts into your skin, it gets absorbed into your skin to actually try and match your color. And then you also need powders. So those powders will blend in and try and match if your ears are darker, if your neck is light or dark. Like in my case, my face is a bit darker because of the sun, but you'll find your chest is lighter. So you need like almost a transition from your face to your neck to your chest to look the same color. So that's why it's a bit complex. And then from there, I think it's easy. The one thing I always tell ladies, please do your brows, shape your brows. Doesn't matter if you have them, if you don't have them, there's permanent makeup now.
Just hang on. We'll talk about that in a second. So what is contouring? Because you said, you know, makeup has a spectrum, and the chiseling makes someone's face thinner, etc., etc. But when you prefer people to look more natural, your nose will still be your nose. And I laugh because I remember when I started off as a news presenter at SABC.
Yes.
Every night I was on air, every night I was getting
makeup
and heavy makeup because of the lighting.
Yes.
And it was always a debate.
Yes.
That do you chisel the nose of the black presenters or don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I realized that makeup is actually quite political.
It is.
Because I don't know about now, but there was a time where black women needed to look more white.
Correct.
For whatever reasons. Their noses needed to look smaller. Their faces needed to look thinner. And that is all a function of makeup. The chiseling, the contouring.
And I think it's not only black women. I think it's society. There's a beauty standard that was there. But yes, the beauty standard was European. So if even you find now nose jobs, you know, they started, you know, it's a Eurocentric way, you know, your nose needs to be this way. So obviously we also, you know, conform to that. So, and it also goes back to the spectrum. When you want your face beat Do you want your nose to be there or do you want to chisel your nose? So it's also personal. It's art. We can look at a painting and I would love it, and you can look at it, you have a different opinion or a different view. So I always say it's personal preference and a personal point of view.
Okay, yeah. So what are we doing there on the nose? We're putting a darker color on the sides to thin it down, or what's going
on? Okay, so the two things, you're speaking about contouring. So contouring goes with highlighting.
Okay.
So let me explain those two. So when you contour, it's when you use a foundation or a powder or concealer that is 2 to 3 tones darker than okay. what you are. So that means we are hiding certain features. So that's when you'll put the line along the side of your nose because you want to make it smaller. That's where you put the line along just below your or on your cheekbones to make it smaller. And even if you have a double chin, you'll see now they're even starting to put it there to hide the fat that's there. I mean, if you're 40 plus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And people like me that maybe have big foreheads, you can also put it at the top of your forehead to bring that in. And that goes, then the opposite of that is highlighting.
Okay.
That's when you use a foundation, a powder, a cream that is 2 to 3 tones lighter than your actual skin tone. And that you place where you want the features of your face to pop.
Accentuated.
Yes. Uh-huh. So that's where you have that line that goes down the middle of your nose. And then that goes then at the top of that contour because now you want your cheekbones to pop. And then that's where you also put it below your eyes because that's where you want to hide the dark marks. Right. And the yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the makeup palette, because yes. you'll have 5 different shades of gold with a different shimmer, 3 different pinks, 7 different blues. So walking, you know, just talk people through a palette, because if I was to apply makeup at home, I would be so intimidated.
It can be so, and you get different palettes, which is also confusing. So what I've done, I've got a Nubian palette, which is a neutral. So it's got the 3 things that a palette can do. So you've got highlight, eyes, and shimmer. So those are the shiny, shimmery things for evening makeup. You've got your nudes, your browns. That's for day makeup. And then you've got the pinky, peachy, maroony colors. And you, what you normally find, those are 3 different palettes that you'd get at the shops. And then you've somehow have to find your way into using and knowing how to apply it. So what I've done with Nubian, all our palettes have those 3, or I call it a 3-in-1 or all-in-one. Yes, where even if you're traveling, there's that palette, there's one that's bigger than this, there's one, the smaller one that actually fits in your
gorgeous.
Bag. So here you can go from work or day, you know, to evening and then to your glam. And what you find, even though that peachy ready one, it is an eyeshadow, but it doubles up as a blush. So that's why it's easy, and I call it the Nubian all-in-one palette. So when I teach makeup, that is a palette you will get, and it just differs in size. So and then you know your basics. So after you've used that, then you'll be able to go to retail and buy, maybe you want a different shimmer or another shimmer, you want a different brown, and then you can get those. But those are the basics.
So the basics are like a dark gray, a charcoal, a gold, a bronze, an earthen color, an ochre, and a pink. Those are the
different, I'll also call palettes, because it's just your browns, nudes, you know, for day, golds and shimmers.
Does it matter if you're black or white or brown or white, you know? So because we've got different pigments in our skin.
Yes. So for me, I specialize in makeup for brown skin or brown tones. That's why you'll find my makeup, my palettes are always similar tones. And you'll find some things, I want a green, I want a blue, I want a yellow. For me, I don't sell those. I don't think I ever will, because I'm sticking to my niche. I'm sticking to my people, meaning not necessarily brown people, but the kind of customer and the kind of woman that I'm targeting. Right. And you can get those, but you really, that's more like an advanced where you really need to know how to blend those tones. Mm. What are you wearing? And you're an advanced makeup fundi, let's call it.
Okay, so there was a time where red lipstick was controversial.
Yes.
Very controversial.
Yes.
I'm even thinking of my TV presenter days.
Still is.
Don't wear red lipstick.
Still is.
And I love it. Mm. But I understood that there are circumstances where it's misconstrued.
Yes.
However, I see red lipstick has made a very powerful comeback.
Yes.
And people could be wearing any color and they'll have red lipstick whether it's clashing or not. So what are the politics behind the red lipstick?
Sure. Yeah. No, red lipstick is, I love red. The reason why I love red lipstick is it's a statement. You're making a statement.
Right.
It is definitely making a statement. You know, it shows that you are confident. You don't mind people looking at you. There's just something about that red lipstick. And it suits everyone. Mm. There are different tones or shades of red lipsticks. But, you know, even from your maroons to your, you know, your lighter orangey reds. But if you're wearing a red lipstick, it says, look at me. I'm confident. I'm proud. I know who I am. I know I'm, et cetera, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. It becomes a bit controversial maybe when now we are in corporate and you are the CEO exec and you are on board and you're standing up and speaking in front of, let's say, a majority of males. And you're wearing this red lipstick, they're like, huh. So I always say there's a balance between that red lipstick and your eyes so that you are not too much, because you're standing up, then you're talking to this panel. They want to listen to what you are saying. But now you've got also this orange or green eyeshadow.
Right.
You've got these brows that are thick and they are done up. And you've got wearing, I always make an example of a red blazer. Mm. So if you're wearing this red suit, red blazer, red lipstick, your eyelashes are there, you're popping and you're talking finances and you're like, wait. So people get distracted by it.
Okay.
So you need to find the balance.
Right. And I see you produce these glosses.
With
the
mirror
between
and
a
light.
Lip gloss and a lipstick. Because could that be the halfway mark? You want to wear a red lipstick, mm-hmm. but you're not sure. So could you go for a gloss?
The color will look the same. It's just personal preference. Some people feel that it's easier to apply lipstick uh-huh. versus a lip gloss.
Okay.
But the color, what they put is called a tube. So what you put inside there, it can be a cream, it can be a matte, it can be a gloss.
Right.
It's but the color will still be red.
Okay. Manufacturing lipstick, makeup. How do you do it? Because there are a lot of oils, different kinds of charcoals and pencils. Where do you get all the ingredients to make it work?
So for me, I didn't go that route because that means now I'll have to be a biochemist and specialize in it. I went the route of white labeling. So I did my research. I found out who's already manufacturing. And, you know, it has to be vegan. It has to be animal, cruel friendly. And so my products are white labeled. So there is a factory and we just put, you know, the actual label. So I know there's a friend of mine who said, Seto, I saw this Instagram lady with this tube, it's yours. I'm like, and then I had to explain to her what white labeling is.
Okay.
It also makes it easier and cheaper for beginner small businesses to actually go that route, buy large quantities. I can order, you know, within a week or two, I'll have my products. And already it's been tested, it's been tried, it's already been there. So I took away all that homework.
Okay, so here's a loaded question. For the longest time, supermodels like Iman were saying that there isn't products. There aren't enough products for black women.
Yes.
That's what she found
walking
the runways of New York and Paris. She then started her brand, Iman. You see Rihanna doing the same. Apparently, there's a huge gap in the market. And yet, women of African descent make up about a billion customers in the world. And they have been shut out of the market. What needs to happen to change that? Clearly, starting a brand like your own. But why has there been this gap?
There's been a, because I think we weren't seen as those kind of women. So I think Africa, especially if you're a model from Ghana or any West Africa and you want to be a model, your dream is to go to New York. That's where the industry is. That's where you're going to make it. So then, and also you are probably 10, if not 5% of the majority there, meaning then there's also not enough. They won't. So as a retailer, I'm not going to make enough. So then the minimum order or the minimum price that I needed to. So people like it, man, they actually open doors for us to actually say there is a market and for, you know, there is a market. There is a gap in the market for black skin tones. And I mean, even my personal story as well, it was similar. So I think I was going to an event. I went to retail, you know, that big square where you go. The lady there also, and also it wasn't an industry for us. So makeup artists back in the day, there were a few black ones. Yeah. And I think it's the famous ones that we all know in South Africa right now. Yes, exactly. It's those ones. So there were a few of them to be able to match your skin tone. So this young, you know, lady did my makeup and it was beautiful, flawless. What I did ask at the end, what did you use? She used 3 or 4 different foundations and powders, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, there's no way. Yeah. There's no way that, you know, I'm going to buy all of this because also I'm a beginner. I can't. Yeah. So that's when I'm like, I researched, you know, my foundation to get Nubian Cosmetics. Yeah.
Okay. And finally, you run an academy. Where can people find you?
So it's master classes. I teach women how to apply makeup. It's nubiancosmetics.co.za. I actually have a class next week on the 1st of April. So if you go online, you can definitely book. All the information is there. So it's a website. I'm also on Instagram, Setumeana. And my page is also nubiancosmetics_ZA.
I laughed when you started because there's a gogo I know who just said, "Hey, Nana, please ask that lady to come and do my face. I'm going somewhere on Sunday." A whole 74-year-old gogo. So everybody wants to look beautiful. Sifiso Setumeana is the founder of Nubian Cosmetics. She teaches about makeup, she manufactures makeup, and she's the next big thing to watch out for in South Africa. So ladies, go and get that face beat and look the best version of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lerato.
Thank you, Setu. Thank you for tuning in to Power Talk this Thursday. We do it again tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.